There is one thing of late which has taken up the attention of most. And it is, of course, those hostages which have been taken in Iraq some days ago by the terrorists. Along with the two Americans, there was also a British citizen from Liverpool. The name of Ken Bigley is a name which has been heard in many homes. And while the fate of the other two working men has met with a horrific and barbaric deaths, there still is a little small glimmer of hope for the British man left. Appeals have been made by family and by loved ones. Posters and leaflets have been given out in Baghdad as to the whereabouts of this man and where he might be and his captives. And over the last few days, there has been nothing but silence. Our hearts surely go out to all his family. And in particular, to the one who has been held captive, should he still be alive. When such a situation as this hits our news, then naturally there is a groundswell of concern. Especially when it has to do with one who is a fellow citizen. But can I say something tonight? That there are countless numbers who are been held captive this evening in the spiritual sense. And there are many tonight, and it seems that they are not only concerned about themselves, but there are also few others who are concerned about them either. For tonight there are souls. And maybe in this meeting you are one of them. And you are facing an eternity in hell. Along with the devil and his angels. And it seems that you are unaware of the danger that you might be in. And neither do you desire to be set free. The scriptures are correct. For it says of man born into this world, there is none that seeketh after God. And that is true even of many who come in to the house of God. They come in just to go through the motions of solving the conscience for another week. Who was just like many. She was a woman who, although it seems that she may have frequented the house of God on a regular basis, yet she was to go away often just to see him in the way that she came into it. She was a soul who was in great need. For here was a woman who was bound and she was a captive. But this was the day that the Savior was to meet her. And she was never to be the same again. I want to bring before you a woman who was to become the captive, who was released. And my prayer is that the same would be said of one in this very service tonight. That you will be set free. I want you to see, first of all, we're really dealing with the words of verse 11 and 12, 13 tonight. Of Luke chapter 13. I want you to notice her condition. He in being taken up with this woman, the Holy Ghost, allows us to contemplate something of the state that she was in when she made her way into the synagogue this Sabbath. She had a physical infirmity which meant that she was bowed together. And although there are those whom we know, and maybe they're on in years, and we watch them and we see their shoulders starting to round. I have a little auntie and she's starting to get bent over a little. But I want you to multiply that disability in your mind, and you must do that if we are to get a closer reflection of what this woman looked like. Her whole spinal system was greatly weakened. Her spine is bent double. Her head is not erect like yours and mine is. But here is a woman whose head is tucked down into her knees. and she barely can see where she's heading. And that meant that her vision was affected. The only thing that she could see was the bottom part of herself and the earth beneath her. She was obliged to look downward all the time, from morning to morning, day after day, week after week. Here is a woman, and she has been brought low. She has crouched over, and in this affliction there might have been also the tremendous pain that was associated with it. You get the picture of this woman in your mind's eye now. And the question may be asked, why or how had this taken place? How had this come about? Well, you notice that in the words of verse 11 that she is described there as a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. And that gives us a clue as to what the cause of her condition was. She had an infirmity which an evil spirit, by divine permission, had brought upon her. Look at the words of verse 16. And the Lord further builds the picture. He further gives the prognosis why she was bowed together. For here was a daughter of Abraham, and she was one whom Satan had bound. As was evident from the case of Job, the devil had been given leave to afflict this woman also with such an infirmity. She was a captive to his power at will. She was bound like this. And what's more, we are told in the words of verse 11, how long that she had to endure this miserable condition for the course of 18 years. 18 long years she had known nothing else but been bowed together and being bound to the devil with her eyes on nothing else other than the earth. She had labored under it for the space of that time. She was obviously well known as a wee woman who was bowed together. And maybe even all hope was long gone that she would ever been cured. I wonder tonight, dear soul, do you see the likeness already with those who are yet without Christ in His wonderful salvation? The sinner is one who is laden down and burdened with a disease called sin. Your condition is one like this woman, for unable, you are unable to see where you're heading. Your gaze is upon the things of the earth tonight. Yea, we can say in the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, but if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You're blinded tonight to see your need. You're blinded to see where you're heading spiritually. Your eyes are on the things of the earth. You're bowed together by sin. The devil has you bound to the things of this old world, and your vision is downward all the way. And all that is facing you is a Christless grave and a Christless eternity beyond. And you are one who is bound by the power of sin, bound to his way and bound to his will, captive to the desires and lusts of the flesh, bound on that road to hell without hope and without God in this world. Do you not see yourself in this woman? That has been your condition from the day that you are brought into this world. And ever since day after day, it has brought you lower into sin. It has brought you near to that place where God has forgotten to be merciful. Aye, but if that wasn't bad enough, there's worse to come. For like this woman, you'll see in verse 11 that there was nothing that you nor she could do to help herself. Let me read the words to you. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. Could in no wise lift up herself. She was unable to change herself. She was unable to do anything to cure her of this disease. She was unable to lift herself up. She comes trundling into the synagogue with her head between her knees. She is bowed together and she gets there in that place. And in that posture. And she could not lift herself up. If you want a picture of what you couldn't do, then turn with me to the Gospel of John in the chapter 8. It is a familiar little passage. It was that time when the Savior was to be presented with a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. And her accusers sought that they would carry out the law of Moses against her, stone her. And they presented this woman, and you'll notice in the words of verse 6, they did so tempting him. This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And I want you to picture that great scene. And the accusers are there. They have the woman presented before them. And the Lord, just as if he had heard them not, he starts to write on the ground. So when verse 7, they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. He lifted up himself. He lifted himself up from writing on the ground and he spoke to these accusers. He that is without sin, you cast the first stone at her. But what the Savior did there is something that this wee woman couldn't do. In no wise could she lift up herself. That was something that she was unable to do. She could not undo the way this disease had left her. Even though she was and is to be commended for coming to the house of the Lord, irregardless of her infirmity. There's many today don't reach the house of God and they have no infirmity in the physical sense. But even though she is coming to the house of the Lord, irregardless of her ailment, yet even that couldn't rectify her infirmity. What was true of this woman is true of the sinner spiritually. For like the little hymn puts it, not what these hands have done can save this guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. There is nothing you can do of yourself to cause your soul to be right with God. Nothing that you can do that can cause that bent, Adamic nature within you to be straightened. You cannot lift yourself heavenward. All the good works and all the church attendance does not warrant you spiritual health, neither forgiveness of sins. And the sooner that you realize that, dear soul, then the better, for you will start to look away from yourself and you will start to seek the only one who can help you and the only one that can save your soul. But let me ask you tonight, just now, how long has this been your condition? 18? 20? 40? 60 years? How long has this been your condition? A sinner bound by the devil, held captive on the road to hell. Because this is your condition tonight. And would to God that you would see that. But given a little glimpse of her condition, I want you also to see her call. This Sabbath in the synagogue was to be like no other. For there on this occasion, as was his custom to teach in the synagogue, was the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who had come to seek and to save that which is lost. You remember how John the Baptist in the prison, he was to inquire whether this was the Christ or whether they should look for another. You remember the answer that was to be given to him? Luke chapter 7 verse 22. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way. And tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And that was the message that John the Baptist was to confirm to his soul that this was the Messiah. And in this synagogue that day was the presence of the only one who could help this woman. And so standing up and teaching in the synagogue that day, as he stood and as he looked over this congregation, his eyes were delight on her that was bowed together. I want you to see in the words of verse 12, the first thing is this, the Lord saw her. He saw the woman. And in the Lord seeing her, he didn't need one to come and tell her of her condition. He knew all about her, for he was God incarnate. And looking at her, he was able to read her life story in the manner in which you and I would read a book. He didn't need a description of her infirmity. He didn't need to be told what her illness was. For as the words of verse 16 remind us, not only did he know how it had taken place, but he also understood the length of time that she had been afflicted and was in this condition. The Lord, in seeing this woman, he knew everything about her. He saw her. And that look was a look of compassion and mercy. He wasn't beckoned to look at her. He wasn't one who was petitioned to do so. We could say that before they called, he was to answer. And my dear soul, the same is true in the gospel. For you in this service tonight unsaved, this may just be another meeting to you, but I tell you the Lord's presence is known in this place. The Lord's presence has been known here this morning, and His presence has already been known here tonight. And He's here, I tell you, He's here to meet with you. And what's more, He knows every heart in His service. He knows the sin that you revel in. He knows that which the devil seeks to bind you with and which has prevented you from seeking the Lord while He may be found and calling upon Him while He is near. My dear soul, while the Lord sees your sin and hates it, His look is yet one of compassion. As it was often the case with the countless numbers of people whom the Lord likened to a flock of sheep without a shepherd. But let me show you that His compassion didn't stop with a look. For this woman was also to hear His call. Verse 12. And when Jesus saw her, He called her. I think there's something lovely about that message. When He saw her, He called her to Him. Here was a direct invitation for her to approach unto Him who is the Prince of Life. A call which singled her out amongst the great crowd that day. It was a call which meant a step of faith on her part. He called her to Him. Would she bother making that little journey? Would she bother making that effort to bring herself to Him? Would it be worthwhile obeying His call and drawing near to Him? Now let me with you consider a couple of others. You see, He was going through Jericho one day and blind Bartimaeus was to hear the same call. And blind Bartimaeus, in hearing that call, was to obey and he was to receive his sight. Or I take you to that graveyard outside Bethany, and it was there that Lazarus heard the call of the Master, and he was to come forth from the tomb after being dead for 4 days. And here is a woman who heard the call of the Lord, and in hearing that call she obeyed, and she was enabled to draw near to Him who could forgive all iniquities and heal all their diseases. My dear soul, not saved, you are one who is blind in your sin tonight. And you are that soul who is lame in your walk tonight. You are not walking with God. And you are that soul, yea, who is dead in trespasses and in sins tonight. You're seen in each of those characters that we have just mentioned. And yet I tell you tonight that there is the call that issues forth from the only Savior and the only Redeemer of God's elect. And it is the call of the Gospel. And that call is a personal invitation to you who are still in your sin and still in nature's darkness. That call is one of mercy and love. For the Lord will be just to leave you in the sinful condition and state you are in, and He will be just in letting you go on to hell. For that's the punishment that every one of us deserves. Every one of us. But alas, dear soul, God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, He calls you unto Himself tonight. That call comes in tones of mercy. For He says, and the Savior said, "Come unto Me, all yet labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The frivolity of this world will not give you peace with God. You'll not find rest in the bottom of a beer bottle. You'll not find it in a moral relationship. But the Savior says to me, "Come unto Me. All ye that are laden, are heavy laden, that labor are heavy laden, I will give you rest." That call comes from the only one who can help you, the only one that can save your soul. For it was Christ who paid the penalty for sins in His own body on the tree. It was on that cross that He poured forth His life's blood. For without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sins. There's no healing in the gospel. A gospel which has no blood. It's no gospel at all. There's no healing tonight in the gospel without the shed blood. For Christ came and He died the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. He died that hell deserving, vile sinners in His sight might be saved, might have eternal life. So dear soul, you who are afar off, you can know what it is to be made nigh by the precious blood of Christ the Savior. What makes you right before God? Nothing but the precious blood of Christ and laying hold upon the Savior and His finished work upon Calvary's cross and laying hold upon it by faith and receiving it for yourself. I wonder what's going to be your response. What's going to be your response tonight to the invitation of the gospel seeker? You know what the Lord says? He says this today. Today, if you'll hear My voice, harden not your heart. Now hear Me, that's tonight. Because you're not promised another opportunity tomorrow. Today, if you hear My voice, harden not the heart of yours. You see this woman's condition. You hear her call. Let me show you finally her cure. Having heard the call of the Lord, this woman was to hear her word, His words. Words whereby she was to be healed. Let me read them to you in verse 12. When Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And the power of the Savior's word and the power of the Master's touch was seen. For He burst her bonds asunder. He dispossessed the evil spirit and He delivered her from her own 18-year affliction. She was cured by the word of His power. And I tell you something, it was a cure. It wasn't like these Pentecostal guys today, for it was a cure which was complete, and it was a cure which was instant. For you read in verse 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately, the cure in the gospel is no different, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It has pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. How shall you believe in him in whom you have not heard? And how shall you hear without a preacher? There is a power in the Savior's word, power to straighten out a life which is bent with sin. The woman, verse 13, we read, was immediately made straight. And all around her in that synagogue that day could see the evidence of the miracle having taken place. She who could not lift herself was lifted up by another. She had come in contact with the Savior, and she was to be made whole, and she was never, never to be the same again. But see also that she was loosed and set free from her bondage. The bondage that she had known. For verse 16, we read there that the Satan, the one Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years was loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. The power of God over Satan was manifest that day in the synagogue, and Satan to Jesus must bow. Binding that the devil had bound and held her for 18 years. It was now snapped. It was now broken at the word of the Lord. He had set the captive free. And dear soul, when the Lord sets you free, you shall be free indeed. For there on the cross he paid it all. He died and was buried. The third day he rose again, conquering death, conquering the grave, conquering hell itself. And he ascended back to the Father's throne. The bonds of death could not hold its prey. And the Savior lives in the power of an endless life to save to the uttermost all that come unto the Father by him. He is able to loose you tonight from the fetters, from the chains of sin and Satan that bind you. For I tell you this evening, his power is still the same. It has not diminished one iota. And oh, whatever sin that you're held by tonight, whatever sin the devil has you bound with, thank God I bring before you the Lamb of God, the great Savior who is able to break those fetters. And he's able to gloriously set you free. When this woman was to know her cure, I can see her spring immediately into that straightened posture. For her cure enabled her to look upward. And the Lord spoke the word, and she felt the Master's touch, and she sprang up, and she now had a new vision. It wasn't of the old things of before, but her vision was anew, and her eyes were to set, first of all, upon her blessed Savior, and the one who had liberated her from her bondage. For she looked into the face of Christ, the one who had set her free. Is it any wonder that we read that she glorified God from being a poor, miserable wretch, from being one bound by the devil, she was now one who exalted and glorified the name of the Savior. And I tell you tonight, dear soul in the meeting, I tell you in the gospel, there is yet life for a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee. Satan's power can be cancelled in your life tonight. Why? Because the blood of Christ is able and it's powerful enough to cleanse the vilest sinner clean. What a glorious Sabbath this was to this woman. She had been loosed. She was now a soul liberate. Oh, the old rascal in the synagogue, he didn't like it. He carpently said, there's 6 days that you can be healed. Don't be expect to be healed on the Sabbath. And the Lord turned around to him and he said, you hypocrite! Did not you lose your ox or your ass? and you lead them away to water on the Sabbath day. And here's this wee woman, the daughter of Abraham, and she has been loosed. And now the Lord had led her to drink of the everlasting springs of the water of life from which she would never thirst again. If she knew the hymn, if the hymn had been written, she could have sang it. Jesus, the prisoner's fetters breaks, and bruises Satan's head. Power into strengthless souls he gives, and life into the dead. She had glorified God. Oh, my friend, this evening, will you come to the well of God's salvation tonight? Will you bow the knee and acknowledge that you're an old sinner? Sinner bent in sin, bound by the devil. Will you acknowledge Christ as your Master and as your Savior? Will you call upon Him tonight to straighten that life of yours out? Will you call upon Him tonight to save your soul and to wash you in His precious blood? What God did that evening, He can do for a soul this Sabbath evening. For His power is still the same. Will you come? God help you to do so. May the Lord bless this message to your heart for Christ's sake.